Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Whatever we're studying, we started yesterday. Whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And so we started to talk about what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and we didn't get very far.
Yeah, mostly we talked about the world hating us.
So let's see what the job of the Holy Spirit is. Let's go to John 16.
I thought you were going to describe what blaspheme means.
I will. I mean, the blaspheme is blasphemal. Blasphemio in Greek. So it's not a translation, it's a transliteration. Like baptize and anti and synagogue and blaspheme. They're all not translations, they're transliterations. That means they bring that word or most of that word into the new language. That's why antichrist doesn't mean against Christ, it means instead of. Blaspheme, it's a legal word in the Greek, I mean the Hebrew version of it, and it means to deny the foundation of whatever it is then you're blaspheming when you deny that foundation. Now, in order to understand what it means to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, we have to find out what the Holy Ghost's job is.
Okay.
So John 16. This is where we started. We went backwards there and we ended up in John 15, verse 18 and 19 and 20, and we spent a lot of time on that. So this time we're not going to go backwards, we're going to go right to it. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Comforter is a really bad translation. The word is paraclete, and it means one who lays alongside, or it's a word of dependence. Like if you were in Siberia, people of the same sex lay next to each other to keep warm. But it's to lay alongside for a purpose. So that's what paraclete means, literally. It has nothing to do with comfort.
Well, it is comforting.
Huh?
Though it is comforting, I would suspect.
Well, but it's not necessarily comforting. He may be kicking your... You may have made him an enemy. All right. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, why is that so true? Christ had to return to the Father before the Holy Spirit could be sent. And it's tautological. I mean, it had to happen that way. It's not that he's going away and on a little trip, but he's going back to the Father. He's completed his mission, and now the Holy Spirit is going to shed the completed mission on all flesh.
It ties into faith. If Jesus didn't go, you'd have Jesus in the flesh.
Right, then you could only believe in him.
Right.
And he'd be a role model rather than the word becoming flesh in you. Now, let's when he has come, he'll do three things. First of all, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's the three things he does. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, sin, now the whole meaning of sin is gone from the Old Testament. Now, the convicting the world of sin is because they believe not on him, on Christ. Convicting the world of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. And that's the only righteousness. And convicting the world of judgment because the prince of the world is judged, and that's the only judgment. And that's the definition of freedom, if you could apprehend it. That way you can, that's the way you go to battle with your mind. Your mind is always judging, mostly yourself. But you've already convicted the world of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged, destroyed. You understand that? A little bit? So all the judgments that you make against people or situations or circumstances or anything, you're not yet blaspheming, but you're getting close. Because you're denying part of his work. You convict the world of righteousness if you think you have been righteous in anything. Or if you think somebody else has. And you convict the world of sin. The only sin is that we believe not on him. So, what is blaspheming then? Blaspheming, he says you can speak against the Son of Man, and you'll be forgiven. But you cannot be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit when you deny the finished work of Christ. Well, this is a toughie.
About denying Christ has finished.
The denying the finished work of Christ, period. It's finished.
Well, based on that, it sounds like it's pretty easy to do.
Well, it's pretty easy to do.
And you do it daily.
Well, then stop it.
Well, it sounds like if I'm denying his finished work, so I'm turning to myself. Any time I turn to myself, I'm blaspheming him.
But again, it's the whole mystery of it is for sanctification. Remember, sanctification means getting the pepper out of the salt shaker. It means that you've always been a vessel for deity. That has never, every man in the universe, when born, is a vessel of deity. You have been a vessel for the evil one, the son of perdition, man of sin. No matter how, what your name is. Now that's why by death, by your death, as this mind thing, then you become a vessel for the Son of God. And that's a totally, but you've never been anything other than the vessel. You've never had an independent identity. You've never had an independent personhood. You've always been a vessel. So the whole idea, God looks at blaspheming the Holy Spirit at the end. What has that? Because the end is what he sees. And if you've continued to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then it's gone. If you haven't accepted the finished work of Christ, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You want to discuss this? This is kind of important.
Yeah, it seems like the Holy Spirit is doing a lot of reproving, and I don't see a lot about the comforting yet, but I see a lot of the reproving and instilling the fear of God, because in these three things here, that's a be right.
Right.
Judging. turning back to self.
But see, God. let's talk again about how God looks at things.
Well, a lot of people think of blasphemy as profane, yet it can be subtler in the form of irreverence. And that's a fine line, isn't it?
I don't know what that means. I mean, right. Like if you curse, you blaspheme.
Yeah.
Or swear, you mean? Just say curse words?
Profane, something that's...
Profane just means not holy.
He used profanity.
Hmm?
The word, I think he used the word profanity.
Oh, profanity. Oh, using profanity. That.
No, profane act.
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Not necessarily.
How do you take the name of the Lord in vain? He will not hold you guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You deny the finished work of Christ. You take the name of the Lord in vain. You put God's name on something that is dependent on time. That's blasphemy. That's I mean, it's so much. We are so far removed from what the first. I mean, again, to call yourself a Christian is taking the name of the Lord in vain. To call a building a house of God is taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's putting God's name on anything that changes and denigrates with time. I gave, in 1974, I gave a talk at the National Religious Broadcasters. And I talked about that. Because, well, I won't go into because, but it was about that. The talk was essentially, and this was the whole panoply of evangelists in the audience. I said, you don't take the name of the Lord in vain by saying, God damn it. You take the name of the Lord in vain by putting his name on something that changes and denigrates with time. And I said, for instance, can you imagine the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association, where 50% of the audience, the name of their ministry was so-and-so ministry? Or can you imagine... Anyway, I went on and on. Can you imagine the Simon Peter's Bible University? You know, on and on and on. And there was, I thought they would really like it. No,
they didn't?
No, they didn't like it. They didn't even give me a hand after the speech. And that's the last time I was asked to speak at the National Religious Broadcasters. But can you see how what it means to take his name in vain? Vain doesn't mean, you know, you like to look in a mirror. Vain means a puff of smoke, empty, without purpose. And so you're putting God's name on something that changes and denigrates with time. You put a part there, but the appellation of his name is calling yourself a Christian. Now, he's not going to kill you for that, but it's kind of frightening to say the Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So that's why it's just another thing that you have to accept your death. Your death is the only way that you can even start to be a one of the way. So let's look at blasphemy. Let's go to...
I have one little comment. A minute ago we were talking about this, and I found myself doing it, whatever it is, you know, blaspheming or whatever, just some thought that was the name. respect. It's like Jeff was saying, that's what we do all day long. You know, there's the, we're filled with blasphemies, but that's our opportunity to repent. If we can see and if we hear this, then we can repent when it comes up. Without hearing, we have no framework for repentance. We just, we probably would like to punish ourselves.
Well, but again, repentance is, it just gives you another opportunity for your mind to condemn you. That's what it does.
Yeah. But don't be surprised.
Yeah, but my point is, why then continue using this thing for anything? Why do you continue to use that which is the son of perdition for your guidance and your thoughts and your, I mean, it's just nuts.
I don't think there's a motivation for using it. I think it's like weeds grow. Things spring up.
But if once you ignore it, it dies.
Well, so that's the second step. But that, you say, why do you use it? Well, that's implying there's a motive. I'm going to use my mind to figure this out. You know, I don't think you need a motive for it to happen.
No, you don't. That's the nature of the beast.
Right.
And it is a beast.
Right. And the comfort is to see it and know it. Laugh at it. It's
such a joke. Yeah, but then you turn around and find yourself in a situation where you think, oh, I've got to use it for this.
Well, yeah, I think I remember a real simple place for me. You know, it's when you go out there and get in the car and put it in gear, go forward, backwards, or make a turn.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you get in the car and do that. You've never had a driver's license in your life.
I've never had an accident or a ticket.
Because you don't drive.
You don't drive. Oh, that would be the reason.
But so you don't use it. So you don't. So that's the whole point.
And you got to use it to obey the traffic laws.
Well, that's the part of the mystery of what sanctification is you obey the law. But that will happen without your mind. If I believe my mind when I'm driving, I'm going to go 95 miles an hour. Well, Harry wouldn't go anywhere with me after a while.
Huh? Well, then it's about just doing the next right thing.
Well, hear me. It's not right or wrong. It's using the guidance of God rather than this thing. And you say, well, I can't trust God with that. Well, if you can't trust God with your work or whatever you're doing, and but you're trusting Him for salvation, then you're lying to yourself. All right, but let's think about this. We're blaspheming the Holy Spirit here. That's what we're studying. I hope we're not blaspheming while we're studying it, but let's look at, we'll go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to see so we can see this whole circle, or whole, whatever it is, globe. 4. Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are you there?
No.
Mr. Buckner, are you there? This is one of the least studied scriptures in the Bible. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead, or the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. For this cause is the gospel preached also to them that are dead. For this cause will be the gospel preached to them that are dead. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So this is the final complete completion of the of the what we're talking about, blasphemy. If at this point, if at this last possible point, you still continue in self, then you've blasphemed him because you've denied Christ. And that's the unforgivable sin. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not, you can't live in fear that you're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's not what God wants. Then you're careful. What you do is you trust it that this outworking and working of the Spirit of God in me is going to do these three things. He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. With those three things, if you can see it and hear it, then you'll do it. You'll believe, finally. And you believe 24 hours a day. You don't stop believing. You believe because you've denied the evil one. And that's why when he said, I write unto you, little children, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you, adolescents, teenagers, because you know the Father, and that's the only thing that helps. But finally, I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong, and you overcome the evil one, and the word of God abideth continually in you. And finally, I write unto you fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. So though I write unto you young adults, because, well, let's read it exactly. 1 John. Chapter 2. Verse 12. And this goes up and down, back and forth, because you don't stay in it. Sometimes you go from the father position to a little child. But the point of it is that this is what sanctification looks like. You think it's dependent on time, but it's not. It's dependent on repentance. Only. Now here it says, I write unto you, little children, darling infants, technon, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You're still in the world. You've seen the blood to forgive your sins, but you're still in the world. You're working around in the world. And second, I write unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Then I write unto you young men, and this is the young adults, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, that's the one that's teenagers, because you've known the Father. And I have written unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. So those four places, there's the darling infant, there's teenager, there's young adult, and father. The only place you can reproduce yourself is from the father position. This is critical in the understanding. Otherwise, you're going to, I'm once saved, always saved, whatever the hell that means. Salvation is the merest of beginnings. What, Gary?
I was wondering what the, when they said, accused Christ of blasphemy.
We'll get to that.
Not there yet. Okay.
We'll see first. Next we'll go to the Old Testament and see what where it is in the law. And then we'll end up where they accuse Christ as blasphemy. Okay?
Oh, yeah. On this, I was thinking how he has different tenses. I write unto you first now. And then he says, I have written unto you.
Yeah, and then he repeats each one, too.
Well, but sure. Yeah, but it's he uses different. They've translated it. Remember, we've gone through this many times. It's technon for little children, then paidon for teenagers, and then I can't remember what the one huios for young adults, and fathers is pater.
Does that address the tense?
No, he still repeats.
He repeats fathers. This. He repeats this because you go back. Sometimes you leave your position. You may have been in the father position, and you go back to being a stupid little kid again.
Yeah. Does it have to be stupid?
Probably. Because you reversed yourself.
I am stupid.
What? I would not that you be ignorant, brethren. That's what it says over. I love that word.
Stupid.
All right. A little bit of understanding of blasphemy?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Take a big guy. There's some good stuff coming in.